Welcome to another episode of COVID Chronicles, a podcast by, for, and about people affiliated with Portland Mennonite Church in Portland, Oregon. It's August 24, 2022. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum, and my guest is Anna Motz. Welcome, Anna. I'm delighted to have you joining me.
Thanks for having me, Gloria. I'm excited to do this with you today.
Well, we start at the beginning, and I realize that I really don't know very much about you. So where were you born?
I was born in Visalia, California. My doctor was Dr. Charles Ellis, and he was my uncle's father, and he was quite a pediatrician. He was the first one to invite fathers into the delivery room, and he wrote many books about it.
So does that mean that your father was able to be there when you were born?
Yes, he was. Even though I had an emergency C-section, and he still got to be there.
Are there any other stories surrounding your birth that you know or have been told?
I just know that my mom had very high blood pressure. And so they realized, oh, well, we really need to have a C-section instead of delivering this child.
How many siblings do you have and where do you fit in the family?
I am the oldest. I think you should have been able to tell that by now, Gloria, by my personality. And I have one younger brother who's 4 years younger than me.
And was California, that part of California, a home area for either or both of your parents?
Yes. They actually met there at a junior college, College of the Sequoias in Visalia, California. And my dad saw my mom like across the campus and like thought, I'm going to marry that lady. And then he properly got introduced to her. They had a mutual friend in the library. And then they were just together ever since.
How romantic.
Yeah, really romantic.
So did you live in that area then as you were growing up or?
So we did live there for a little while. When I was 1 or 2 years old, my parents joined Youth with a Mission for a little while. And they did is it called a DTS now, but it was called a SOE back then in Europe. So that was like a school of, I think it was like evangelistic outreach or something for a few months. And then they did the outreach part, which was in Eastern Europe, Germany. I think they were in Israel and Greece. Turkey, another in Turkey.
And how long?
Refugees.
Working with refugees. Uh-huh. And how long did that last?
So that was about 2 years. And while we were on that adventure was when I started loving coffee. When we lived in Turkey, my dad would take me on little dates when my mom would like have an afternoon nap and he'd get me Turkish coffee.
You were very young.
Yeah, I was like two.
But it's not that unusual in some other countries.
No. But also on that trip was where my dad realized he really wanted to pursue a career as an artist. And so he really had a drive. Once that time was over, he came back to California and he started going to Art Center Colleges of Design in Pasadena.
Do you have any memories at all of your time in Europe or those other countries?
You know, I don't know. If I remember, because I had all kinds of misadventures. Now, I don't know if it's people telling me or me also seeing the pictures, because I've always been really independent and really like my mom would take me, like I was 2 years old and I was potty trained and we'd be at the grocery store and I would want to ask the clerk where the restroom was and then follow the directions and take myself to the restroom and then come find my mom wherever she happened to be shopping in the store. But my mom says she'd always follow closely behind and be knowing what was happening with me, even though I thought I was doing it all by myself at 2 years old. But I would also, where my parents were going to school in Germany, there was a local school and I'd go play on the playground and then just go in. When recess was over, I'd go in with the kids and my parents would like lose me. I'd be like, oh God, where is she? I was at the school.
Do you have any idea where this independent streak came from?
I think I just always felt my parents helped me always just feel really, really comfortable.
So it sounds like they encouraged that, or at least they didn't discourage it.
Yeah, they didn't discourage it.
So was your brother born in Europe?
No. So we were home and my dad was he was still going to college. He was still at Pasadena Arts and College of Design when my mom had my brother. He was born in Hollister, California. Well, he was born in Visalia as well, but we lived in Hollister at the time.
And what kind of art was your father thinking to pursue?
So he did fine art. So that's like, it's realism. And what happened was Hallmark Cards hired him. So we ended up moving to Kansas City. And he was in a great department called Illustrators. And they really were like they championed this department. And they would like send him on, not vacation, but like inspirational trips to like New York or San Francisco. And it was really fun because I'd go to work with my dad. And so he would be painting. And then like the next studio over would be a lady who was making really interesting satin pigs. And then I'd go like next booth over and it'd be another person making like little ceramic fairies.
So did you become interested in art as well?
Well, I definitely appreciation. Like I just love art, but not that I wanted to pursue it personally for myself.
So where did you start school then? Was that in California or in Kansas?
I did preschool and kindergarten in California, and then first grade in Kansas.
And were these public schools?
Public schools, yes.
So as you were getting into school in the elementary years, what subjects were you finding of interest?
Probably none of the subjects. I was interested in art, and then I was interested in recess.
That sounds fairly typical.
Yeah. Well, I have dyslexia, so just everything was such a struggle. And it was just so hard for me because the way that they were teaching was not a way that I could really grasp.
Did your parents realize this, or what's the story there?
Yeah. The grade schools in Kansas were far advanced from the Central California grade school that I had come from. And so they did consider holding me back. But then my mom said, well, you know what, let's just do some like learning things with her and get her brain, figure out the way her brain learns over the summer. And I was just acing every task that she had for me to do. I was just acing it. And so she was like, this girl is fine. She's fine. I'm not worried about her. So yeah, I just went on through school, and then, oh, am I jumping ahead?
Yeah. Was your mother working outside the home at all during this time?
No, she was babysitting in the home.
With other children?
Right, yes.
And your dad was working away at Hallmark. I'm assuming that he has some cards that he can point to that he designed?
Yes. Yeah, we have some of his cards. And there was some that did very, very well that we ended up, you know, getting boxes of, or there were some that were like the rejects that they didn't end up wanting. What is hard about Hallmark is obviously you're producing a lot of artwork, but Hallmark owns all the artwork. And even now, you know, my dad passed away a long time ago. We are like, could we please get that artwork? And they're just, you know, absolutely not. You know, your dad signed it away already. We've already paid for that artwork. But they just must have warehouses of artwork.
Because at a certain point, they're not going to use it again.
Right. They're not going to use it again. So why wouldn't you? I don't know if it's just too much of a headache. Well, they were very meticulous and kept very good books and very good catalogs. So I would think, like, couldn't you just go back in your catalog and get all the George Barkley Moats artwork?
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, I felt really cool because, and my brother and I were both really cool because that's when we were all collecting stickers. And so he did a set of stickers that was more female in nature, slumber party theme, and then more masculine stickers that were like skateboard and BMX theme.
And were those for Hallmark, or he just
paid
those?
Hallmark.
So it sounds like church was probably a part of your growing up years. Talk a bit about that.
Yes. We went to a non-denominational church, Hillcrest Covenant. That's what it was called. And I mean, I had gone to Sunday school in California, And so it felt familiar, like similar styles of teaching in Sunday school. And I mean, because I had, like, ever since I was little, I was regularly going to church. It just felt supportive and natural.
And everybody went, mom and dad and everybody?
Yeah, we all four went.
So let's get back to school, junior high. Go ahead and tell me about seventh grade.
So then in sixth grade, we moved back to California. My dad was like, well, he really wanted to do freelance. It started feeling very yucky for him not owning any of his artwork. So he started doing pursuing graphic design, and he got an agent in LA to help him drum up some work. So we went to the local Christian school, and that didn't feel good. It felt different than what I had understood Christianity to be, because it was just a lot of rules, and there was no graciousness for me being new. You could wear jeans, but it could only have one seam on your leg, and I'd accidentally wear two seams or three seams even on my leg. Or you could wear a skirt, but if you're kneeling down, it needs to touch the ground. But mine was above my knees or something like that. And I wasn't meaning to break the rules. I just apparently didn't understand them, or nor did my mom apparently. So that was a hard year. That was sixth grade year. And then what happened was my mom took my brother and I out of school, and we did homeschool for a year.
And how was that?
It was really fun. I mean, I love my mom and I love my brother. He's just my buddy. We had a lot of fun, and my mom would make us nachos very often for lunch. And that was a real treat. And we'd watch Magnum PI over lunch.
Very educational.
Yes, very, very good.
Now, was this in the age of computers yet at this point or not?
Well, we did not have one. We didn't have a computer. No, I would say not really. She found I think she kind of picked and chose what curriculums she wanted to use for, literature and math and science. And yeah. And we did hang out with the local homeschool group of kids. They were a little bit of a hard group to get into. Well, they were naughty. There were a couple of dozen of them. And then Brian and I. So it was a good idea that the moms had, where there would be enough of us where we could plan to go and do these field trips together. And so we did a couple field trips together, and it's always a little off-putting. These kids were a little bit naughty. And then we went to a dairy, and the dairyman told us, even as we were getting out of our cars, do not run. Please be calm. If you start running, you can start the cows stampeding. Please do not run. And we went and we saw the milking barn and everything. And then we came out and we were waiting for lunch or the next thing or whatever we were doing. But just immediately those kids start running. And Brian and I are not running, but everybody else is running. And then, they're yelling, stop running. But then everyone is joining. And I mean, they totally started stampede. And my mom was like, we're never doing anything with these people again. We cannot be associated with them. These wonderful farmers told us what they expected of us. And then we did the opposite thing.
Now, were most of these other children, quote unquote, being homeschooled because they were Christians? And I've got my fingers going in quotes.
I don't know. Maybe it was because they're socially inept because they can't follow directions. I don't know.
So it sounds like at some point you went back to a real, quote unquote, a real school.
So then what we did was, yeah. So then I did go back to the Christian school, and then I was in eighth grade. I was in junior high, and that was a lot better. I think, I wasn't the new kid. I knew all the rules this time. It was a little bit more relaxed in junior high than it was in sixth grade, eighth grade than it was in sixth grade. There was still a lot of problems with the school. I had already been there once, so I kind of knew how to work it better for myself. But then my mom and her best friend, whose kids were going to that school too, said, you know what? Why don't we just start our own school? Let's do a Christian fine arts school. And so sure enough, the next year, so my freshman year, I was the only high schooler at this newly formed Christian fine arts school. And my mom's best friend was an artist. And we got other artists in the community, Christian artists in the community who would, you know, teach music and teach dance and all kinds of fun things for us to do.
So it was specifically fine arts. I mean, that was the emphasis or the focus at that school.
Yeah. And so they used the Becca books. They used that curriculum out of Florida, which I don't know if it's any good now, but we really liked it. They taught poetry and we would learn all kinds of wonderful poems.
So did you finish out your 4 years of high school in that school then?
I did. Yeah.
So you were in the first graduating class?
Yes. And there another lady or another girl joined me. I think it was my junior year. I can't remember if it was sophomore or junior year that she joined me. So there was two of us.
Was that a good way to do high school?
It was great. I loved it. My only complaint was, you can understand this because you've seen me before, we had to wear uniforms.
That didn't go over well.
No. I mean, it got better. The first year, our skirt was just really dark blue. But then a couple of years in, maybe by the junior year, we got to have plaid skirts. So that was much better for me. Much better.
Did you have any idea what you planned to do after high school? Tell me about that decision.
Well, I knew I wanted to do something in the art industry. And I knew I wasn't like a producer. I knew I wasn't a creator. And my parents had like spent a lot of time like, and well, of course, and with this fine art school, we're going to the symphony and we're going to opera and we're going to MoMA and we're going to MoCA and we're going to all of the museums and the galleries. And so I finally came down with, I want to either be like a gallery owner or like a museum manager, curator. So that's what I wanted to do. And I had done like just a little bit of modeling, and the junior college that my parents had met at was a junior college I decided to go to as well. And they had a fashion degree or like an AA. So I was like, okay, well, I could do modeling and then I could pay for college with that.
And is that what happened?
So I studied that and I realized the fashion industry is really gross.
the modeling fashion.
Yeah.
Tell me a bit about that.
Well, what was gross about it to me was not so much the modeling. Well, I mean, I love the creativity and I thought modeling was really fun, but I really didn't love, like, I was like, who is making these clothes? And then I was realizing the people who are making the clothes are living in horrible situation and they're making, you know, 10 cents a day and they can't pay for their kids. And, you know, they're working 7 days a week. And so I just thought, like, I don't want to be involved with this at all because I'll be promoting it and I can't promote what I know now. I can't unknow this. So then I took out school loans instead of paying for it like a regular person. At that junior college of the Sequoias, I got a AA in art history. And then I knew I didn't want to go to another state school because I just felt like, I kind of felt like some of my teachers were dialing it in. Like they weren't passionate about their subject. And so I found a private school in Spokane, Washington, that was offering a art administration degree, which is like a BA in business and a BA in like art history. So that's where I graduated from. I went there.
So what was the name of that one?
That one's Whitworth College. When I was there, it was a college. I think it might be a university now.
And so now you have these degrees that are so employable.
Yeah.
What next?
Oh, okay. So before I graduated, I had one more semester. I was doing a Jan term and then I was going to graduate in the spring. And my dad became sick right after I graduated from high school. And he had cancer. He had six different surgeries and he just didn't recover from the last one. And so he passed away that February. So I don't know if that Jan term went into February. I can't remember how that really went. But I came home and I just did the last semester from home, senior year of college.
So you were studying remotely way before the pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And well, I have to tell you something my dad did that just Well, this was another thing that kind of just made me feel like, oh, I'm fine. I'm comfortable. The world is fine. I'm comfortable here. So when my parents drove me up to school to drop me off, and my whole family, my brother was there too, my dad figured out, okay, where is the president? I got to go talk to this president. So he introduced himself. Hi, I'm George Motes. My daughter, Anna Motes, has decided to finish her schooling here at your lovely college. And I have to tell you, she's the funnest person to be around on this whole campus. So you make sure anytime you're on campus and you're sitting down for breakfast, save a seat for her. If you guys are doing an assembly, save a seat for her. If you guys have a comedian on campus, save a seat for her next to you. You're going to want her with you. You're going to want to see, you're going to want to see how she feels about it, what she thinks. You're going to want to hear what she has to say. And he did. What's his name? His first name is Bill. I can't think of his last name right now. But Bill was like, hey, are you sitting? Where do you have a place you're sitting already? You're sitting with me. Hey, I'm sitting over there. Go sit next to me. I saved you a spot. So for 2 years, well, except for that last semester. So for a year and a half, I'm sitting with Bill, the president. And I was nowhere near the dean's list or anything. I think that was part of what he liked about it. Like, I don't just love the smart kids. I also love the goofy kids.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And then, of course, your father died and The president knew this so whole story.
Said, yes, right. Obviously, I went home for the funeral and everything. And then I knew that I wanted to finish on time because I didn't actually have that much more to do. I think it was only like three courses, maybe even two. It was just two, but they were big. It was like 6 credits and 4 or 5 credits. And one of them was like my big gallery thing. And I really wanted to graduate with my other artists and gallery people. So he called me and of course he just, you know, apologized and what can he do? And he said, you know, do you want to graduate this year? And I said, I did. And he said, okay, well, come up with a plan.
The president said this.
Yeah, come up with a plan and then come to my office when you're up here and tell me what it is. And whatever it is, I'm going to say yes. So I came up with a good plan of how I was going to do it. And I think it was that I would come back up to campus one more time, like once in the middle and then once at the end so that I could do the whole gallery thing. So I told him the plan. He said, okay, that's a good, yep, that is a good plan. I knew you'd have a good one. So I just told you ahead of time I was going to say yes. And so then he just wrote the teachers and said, this is what Anna's going to do. And they said, okay, because Bill said that's what she's doing. So the 4 or 5 credit one was a lot of lecture. And so they would just send me cassette tapes in the mail. So I'd just sit there and listen to my cassette tapes. And I was, so at the time we had an espresso bar, our family had an espresso bar and my mom, let's see. Yeah, she was there. So her and I were running it together. But of course, when your husband just dies, you're not really loving being out in public. And he was a public person just because he was an extrovert and you don't want to keep talking about it every day. And, you know, everybody's kind and they want to say they're sorry or they're just awkward and you don't want to feel their awkwardness because they don't know what to say. And it's this person, you know, 100 people a day where you have to do the same awkward little dance. And so I come home from the cafe and then listen to several cassette tapes and big notes.
But you did end up graduating with your class then.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I got to walk with my class. And then my mom was, you know what? I did graduate with my class. But my mom, so my mom and my brother were already in Hawaii. And so my best friend from grade school came and she like watched me graduate and everything.
Well, there's like a huge number of years in between here and when you showed up at Portland Mennonite Church, but we're rapidly running out of time, which is what always happens. But can you just tell me a quick version of how you happened to end up at Portland Mennonite Church, which is why, you know, people who are on the podcast, because you have a connection. Tell me, please.
Yes. So I moved up to Portland with my 3 beautiful children. With my 2 beautiful children at the time, Isaac and Makamai, because I was working for one of the large coffee roasters in Portland. And I moved up in the summer of 2010, and my mom had moved up in the spring of 2010. So I had like, you know, people here. And we just really never found like a church that was really, I went to the artist church, but then that wasn't really clicking. And then I went to another church where it was just never quite assimilated. And my mom started going to the Mennonite church, and she invited me to a longest night. Is that what it's called? Longest night?
Sort of like a watch evening kind of thing. The shortest day. It's the one in December, right?
Yes, December.
December 21st.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
The solstice.
The solstice. And so I came to that and I was blown away. It was like just fed me, and nobody was trying to entertain me. Nobody was trying to teach me anything. Nobody was making jokes. Everybody, it was just like, just take what you need. Just be yourself. You know, you can be silent. You can have no contact, or you can come and talk to somebody and share and have them interact with you. And I just thought, how beautiful. It's just, nobody had an agenda. I could just have my own agenda and my own needs and my own wants. And it was really so beautiful. But then, you know, I just kept going back and trying to do this other church. My kids were in the youth group, although they were complaining about the youth group. And then, you know, it came around again, December 22nd. Then my mom invited me again. And it was just as huge a blessing again. And then I think by the third year that she invited me, I was like, well, maybe I should try to hang out with these people more. They seem to know what I need. They speak the language I need to hear. And then my mom talked to Kurt and said, okay, I have these two grandkids and they need a youth pastor. They need a good one. And Kurt said, hey, I am a good one. I am the man for the job. And sure enough, they were just like immediately embraced. And Makamai was in junior high. And so Barry was her first teacher, and Barry just really embraced her. And she said, oh, I feel like Barry says everything I say is so smart. I feel really smart when Barry's my teacher. Of course, you know, that's what you want for your kids. And of course, everyone loved Lulu's dancing. So.
And so you've been there ever since.
Yeah, exactly. So I've been there ever since.
Well, Anna, there are so many more stories that we didn't have time to get to, but thank you so much for giving us this glimpse into your amazing life.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And thank you for joining us for this episode of COVID Chronicles. If something you heard raised questions or you discovered a connection, take the opportunity to reach out and continue the conversation. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum. Until next time, stay well and keep the faith.